If I were to ask you to think about who are the most important people in church, I wonder what you would say. I'm sure we would have a variety of answers. Some of you might think, and I know you'd be wrong, but you might think that the most important persons in the church are the pastors. They plan, they prepare, they pray, they whatever. They have been given responsibilities, not to be taken lightly, for sure. Others might say that the most important people in the church are those who are the givers. You know, they keep the bills paid. They're the ones who sacrifice and give so that the work of the Lord can continue and go forward in the community. Some of you would say that the most important people in the church are the volunteers, the teachers, the youth workers, the worship team, the people serving on different committees to make sure everything happens. And I know there are some people who would think that the most important persons in the church are the ones who make coffee in the morning. You can't go wrong making coffee. You're welcome. But in all seriousness, the truth of the matter is that every person in the church is important. Everyone. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that everyone is a part of the body, and Jesus is the head of the church. And so while there is no most important person other than Jesus, there is a most important purpose, and that is to pray. We could do a lot of things. We could have charismatic leaders with great vision and enthusiasm. We can have, and we actually do have, just about the best givers on the district. We can have, and again, we do have an incredible team of volunteers. I am honestly amazed and incredibly grateful to the great many people who are involved in the life of this church. We can have amazing programs for people of all ages. We can do all the right things, but the most important thing we can do, you know this, is we can pray. But it's interesting that when we talk about prayer, particularly when somebody is struggling, when somebody is hurt or struggling in some way, and we talk about prayer, sometimes we say, almost apologetically, all I can do is pray. I wish there was more I can do. You might have said that at some point. You might have heard others say that. I wish there's more. All I could do is pray. I know that sentiment. I felt it too. You see somebody, you see a need, and you want to make something better, but it's not in your hands. And so you say, well, all I could do is pray. And it's true, we can pray and we should pray, but we don't need to say it apologetically. All I can do is pray. No. All I can do is pray. Because until I prayed, nothing else is of any consequence. It's not all I can do is pray. All I can do is pray. And maybe after that, I can help with the dishes, and I can maybe look after your kids, and maybe I could fix your house a little bit, or take you to an appointment, or whatever else, all those other things. All I could do, really, is pray. We're not going to have victory until we pray. We're not going to have breakthrough in our community, also known as revival, until we pray. We're not going to have personal spiritual victory or victory in someone else's life until we pray. In the early church, the first days after the day of Pentecost, when the believers had gathered together and the Holy Spirit had come upon them, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it says that everyone was filled with awe, and yeah, great things, amazing things started to happen when people prayed. Great verse. We're not going to focus on Acts 2:42 today, but sometime we will. Great verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Great things happen when we pray. And so I want to look this morning at what Jesus had to say or do about prayer. First of all, to notice that the obvious, that Jesus took time for prayer. It wasn't an accessory in his life. It was his life. It was a priority. You know, when you buy a car, there are some things that are accessories, like air conditioning. Especially in the Yukon, it's not critical that you have air conditioning. It's nice. It's not critical that you have power windows. It's nice. Those are accessories. Okay? When you buy a car, it's nice if there needs to be an engine in this thing, right? There needs to be a working transmission. Right? There he is. There needs to be wheels. Those are essentials. Those are priorities. Those are not accessories. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes we think of prayer as an accessory to our busy life. It's like, lots happening, and if I can fit this in somewhere, I'll do that. Mark chapter 6, verse 44. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. The thing I want to point out here is that it's not like Jesus didn't have anything else to do. It's not like Jesus had, you know, he had finished his chores for the day, and, you know, he'd done his healing, he did his miracles, and, you know, I got nothing else to do. So now maybe I could spend a few minutes in prayer. That's not the way it worked. He actually dismissed the crowd. I wonder, and I don't know this, but I'm speculating, so bear with me, but I wonder if that's a nice way of saying Jesus told everybody to go home because I want to pray. It's time for me to pray. I got to pray. I need to get filled up here. You know, he dismissed the crowd. You know, all right, guys, you've been fed. You can go now. And went up on a mountainside to pray. The point is, prayer was a priority for Jesus. For Jesus. If Jesus needs to make prayer a priority, where does that leave us? Sometimes I get caught up in the thought that, oh, I'm so busy. And we're tempted to think we're too busy to pray. Someone once said that they were too busy to not pray. In other words, the more life piles on them, the more important it is, essential it is, that they set aside time to pray. And that's really the key word. The key word there is set aside. Set aside time to pray. When we look at Jesus in that verse, it seemed to be intentional. It wasn't just accidental. It wasn't just that Jesus had some leftover time he wanted to fill in because there was nothing good on TV. It was intentional, focused. And everything in our life that is important needs to be intentional. For those of you who are married, and I obviously not everyone here is, but those of you who are married, your relationship has to be intentional. You have to give it intentional focus and care. It just doesn't grow by accident just because you're a nice guy or because she's a nice girl. It's intentional. All relationships, and in our relationship with God through prayer, has to be intentional. Jesus clearly made prayer a priority. Secondly, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We see that in Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, he said, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And there are many elements to what Jesus had to say in this passage of Scripture. And truly, we could spend weeks just looking at this passage. Several things Jesus made very clear about prayer, not to make it a show. We're not making a display of it. We're not needing to use repetition. That God already knows what's on our heart. And that prayer needs to be centered on the will of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so sometimes we can go through all of this more detailed and systematically, but it's sufficient for us today just to focus on the fact that Jesus felt prayer was so important that he not only modeled it, he taught it. He gave them an example. He taught his disciples how to pray. And I suppose the bottom line of that is to pray for the kingdom of God to be done, for his will to be done. Jesus took time to pray. He taught his disciples to pray. And he most certainly encourages his followers to pray. We looked at this verse briefly last week in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. As I said last week, sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And sometimes we ask with the wrong motives. We need to pray in Jesus' name. That means to pray under his authority. That means we're not praying in a selfish manner. It's not about me. It's not about gimme, gimme, gimme. It's about what do you want, God, in my life. We can pray seeking the mind of Christ, the will of God. And Jesus says, when we do so, doors will be opened. Jesus invites us to pray. Ask, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, Jesus says, all of you who are bearing a load, a heavy load, and I will give you rest. We read earlier the scripture from Isaiah chapter 40. about how we get weary. We get tired. We stumble and fall. But God gives strength to the weary if we ask. Jesus says, ask. Come. Ask. That's all we need to do. It's as simple as that. Jesus took time to pray. He taught his disciples to pray. He most certainly encourages us to pray. The only question left is, what are we waiting for? We miss out when we don't pray. When we do pray, we can expect great things. God's miracles, in God's timing, and for his purpose, will happen according to his will. We can expect that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, after they prayed, it's no coincidence that what takes place here, and I read it in a moment, is after they prayed. It's not just, oh, that's the way it happened. I think it's very intentional. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly after they prayed. Oh, there are so many examples of God working in people who prayed. Peter, in prison, waiting for his execution. The church is praying. Angel comes. Doors open. He's let out. Goes to the house where the people are praying. They can't even believe it's him. Oh, no, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. You guys are praying for me. Come on. I'm here. It's really me. Finally, they decide they better open the door before the whole neighborhood wakes up. It's a great story. God's people praying. We have an all-powerful God who loves us and wants to draw us near to him. He wants to help us. He wants what is best for us. We have the privilege to pray in Jesus' name, seeking his mind. Imagine we can talk to the one who created everything out of nothing with just his word. He knows you, he cares about you, and he invites you to come and have a chat with him. So I want to encourage you. Won't you take him up on his offer? I want to encourage you. Make prayer intentional. Make prayer a focus in your life. Don't let it slip by. God invites us to come. Jesus taught us to pray. He made it a priority. He invites us to do the same. And when we do, we can expect great things. Maybe not always the way we want or at the time we want, but we can most certainly expect God to shake us, God to move us, God to give us his strength, his presence, and his peace when we pray. That's our privilege. Let's not squander it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you today. And Lord, I know how easy it is to get caught up in the urgent, to get caught up in different things, and sometimes even to think that, what's the use? And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who's maybe at that point where they feel, what's the use? There's no point anymore. I ask, Father God, I pray that you would just, Lord, just give them that awareness that you are there, that you do care, and Lord, that you will respond to prayer. Father God, give us faith, where our faith is falling short to some degree, we pray that you would increase our faith. And I pray, Father, that for each one of us, that you would help us to make prayer part of our life, not just a moment here and a moment there, but our relationship with you, our communication with you would be so natural that it would be part of our daily living. And Father, whatever the needs are of your people today, Lord, I do ask that you would meet them, that you would come, and that you would bless. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.